Hey, 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 this is J.R. McNair here on Velocity Radio. I'm so excited to be here once again at the Millionaire Mastermind Summit in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's incredible.
We are at the Grand Hyatt Regency, and we are here interviewing some amazing people. If y'all heard on the last interview we were doing, y'all heard that good music popping in the background. Well, that was Mr. Pugh. He was in there getting it in. And you know, I had went beforehand. I said, we got to get him in here. I'm a fan of your music. And, and you know, we wanted to make sure that we got you in here to say, hey, listen, he came from Houston to be here.
Yes, sir.
To be a part of this. And we had to get him on just to kind of talk about him and talk about what he's doing. You know, I mean, he is, you know, gospel music's leading man. You know,
is that right?
So, it's like him and Kirk Franklin.
That's right. Look. Hey, look, we're rolling in. And so this is the thing. I wanted to just talk to you about yourself, really, how you got into music and really what brought you here.
Well, Velma Trahan is a very good friend of mine. She's assisted me with some PR for some of my major events in terms of industry and ministry. And so when she mentioned it, I was like, hey, I told my staff, whatever we got to do, y'all better get me in Atlanta. So I'm so glad the atmosphere is charged with so much entrepreneurial empowerment. And so even though I came to sing, I came to also be empowered.
That's awesome. Yeah. So. Tell me about, because, I mean, you're a minister, mm-hmm. you're also a singer.
Yes.
I mean, when did you know that you were going to be a singer, and then what made you go into, did you know you were going to be a singer before you'd be a minister, or did it all happen at the same time? Like, talk to me about how that happened.
Well, growing up in a home of a PK, okay. You don't have any other choice.
That's right.
So no matter what we did on Saturday or Sunday, we had to be front and center. And so I started off as a drummer at about maybe the age of 6, but around about the age 8, my brother's voice was not working one time, and my mom said, you're on, you're going to sing. And so I never went back to the drums. So from the age 8 all the way up, I was involved in some capacity in church, whether it was singing or even starting to preach. I probably started trying to preach at 10. And then I got licensed at 16 and then ordained by 18. So all of it happened kind of at the same time, though. It's kind of like the music had already been the foundation, and so everything else just kind of fell in place.
Wow, that's
very young.
But that's amazing. You see most singers, most people that are, they start young.
Very young.
And so you have to start, you know, funny thing, me and my friend and his older brother, we got a record deal offer when I was like 11.
Wow.
When I was 11. And so I've been singing and, you know, they wanted us to quit school and do stuff. And I was like, my mom was like, that's not going to happen.
We're not doing that.
Nah. So, you know, but I've always loved to, you know, hear great singers and hear great musicians, because music is so important. It goes through so many different
absolutely universal.
Areas.
It's the universal language.
It is a universal language.
And even in my particular assignment, in bad times, people need to hear good news.
That is
and
correct.
So I will always be doing, no matter whatever else I'm doing in life, I will always be spitting out that good news, trying
That's
to empower, edify, and encourage people.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, I'm also an ordained minister.
Oh, wow.
And so, yes.
I could kind of pick up a little.
Okay. So I did a funeral this past weekend, and it was my first funeral. It was,
oh, wow.
It was hard.
Eulogy?
I did the eulogy, and I officiated the whole funeral.
Oh, wow.
And did the burial site and everything. So it was interesting. You know, as a young person, it was sad, but, you know, I think, like you said, in bad times, people start to really think about life.
Yeah, and they're hungry for that.
Yeah. Tell me about some of your music now, and some of your, you know, in the music space. Where has God really led you to produce and some things that are really on your heart right now?
Well, I really, I've come from a very traditional, if you would. I grew up in the Kojic type setting, and then from Kojic, I was there all my life. But then at 18, I got into the non-denominational church, and I was there leading worship for about 10 years and left there and went to an AME church for 12 years. And
wow.
So what I'm trying to do even now with my PhD studies, I'm trying to do a intersection between ethics and worship.
Okay.
Because what you find is a lot of times the people have to give things, but, you know, sometimes the integrity of doing what it is that we do, like doing this thing for real. When That's I say right. I'm true. A gospel artist, there's a certain standard, there's a certain conviction I'm supposed to have.
Absolutely.
Basically, the old people used to say, live what you sing about.
That's right.
So rather than just beat them over the head, what I would like to do is just empower people. And you got to get them when they're young. See, a lot of people pluck the fruit. But you really have to deal with the root of the matter.
That's right.
If you haven't been told that you need to be integral and you need to pay your bills and keep your credit good, then you won't do it.
That's right.
So the Bible says, let the older teach the younger. So my job, I feel like, at a 53-year-old, dealing with people
53.
In the industry.
You look good, man.
Yeah,
man,
53,
dude,
November.
His show don't crack at all.
As long as you moisturize.
And get you some good rest.
Yeah, that's good.
But just empowering them, you know, with to do the right thing.
Okay.
We wear these braces to say, what would Jesus do? So that's what I really feel like my mission is, in addition to philanthropical things that I'm doing, as well as music, ministry, and industry. It is my duty, I believe, to really empower people to have that cross-section with the ethics and worship.
That is awesome. I'm going to tell y'all. So do you got us a picture on of him? Because I just want people to get a good shot so they can see how taking care of yourself and serving the Lord, how to have you looking good, you know, at 53, right?
At 53.
Only to beautifies the meat.
There you go. Okay. And so I want you to talk about your company that you're CEO of,
yes.
EPM Music Group and P-Man Music. Mm-hmm. Talk about that and what made you start those organizations.
Well, I started EPM Music Group, and I started with some amazing people that you may know. Crystal Rucker,
yeah.
Vincent Tharp and Kenosis, okay. Charles Buttle and Trinity, Keith Williams. I got John Paul McGee. I started this label because there are a lot of people who are amazingly gifted, and they've served on the backside of the mountain. But because I had a distribution deal with E1 Entertainment, I wanted to give some of those persons an opportunity to come to the forefront. You've been singing on background microphones, but now it's time to come to the forefront. So I wanted this label to be a very artist-centric label, to where they were not competing with my record releases and things that I'm doing. So I created P-Man to do my personal stuff, but then my EPM Music Group stuff is for all other artists to give them an opportunity. And it's been amazing to watch people's career just evolve.
That's amazing.
Because I become so that you can become, so that the next person can become. I'm getting older, so the next generation, we got to raise them up.
That's right.
And that's what I wanted to do through EPM Music Group.
That is right. That's great. And yeah. You know, as a consultant, I have always seen that one of the issues that most organizations have is no transition.
Right. That's good.
It's no transition. And so you're creating a transition.
Yeah.
What made you think the forethought about that when maybe others may not have?
I heard a speaker one time say that a lot of the older preachers, Miles Monroe, he said it right before he passed. And he said that the older people, they don't pass the mantle over to the younger people. Mm-hmm. And so when they die, the young people have to go to the casket and pry the baton out of their hand.
That's right.
And begin to move. Whereas we should have a succession plan. We should be empowering them and have that in place so that if something should happen or you decide you want to go to emeritus status, you've got a young preacher who has come up through the ranks with the power and the equipment and the experience.
That's right.
To really carry that work on, and it doesn't have to die.
Yeah.
I love that. So EPM Music Group and P-Man Music.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between P-Man Music and EPM Music Group? Can you explain those differences?
Yes. EPM Music Group has a distribution deal through E1 Entertainment.
Okay.
And like I said, it's a more artist-centric label to where I want to give other people an opportunity. But P-Man Music, which is also distributed through them, is my personal music. That's my preaching material, my worship material, as well as my recordings. I do everything through P-Man Music. And, you know, being when you own your own stuff, what I love about P-Man and being independent, I can be creative and do what I feel God is telling me to do.
That's great.
But when I was signed to other labels, they bring in the producer.
Oh, yeah.
They pick the songs.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They tell you what the CD cover is going to look like. And sometimes it doesn't represent what you feel that God has told you to do.
That's right.
But when you are in charge and you can kind of set your own release dates and you know what the Spirit of God is saying to you in a season and a time, you can release that to the people in the earth.
That is awesome.
Question for you.
Yes.
How do you find your balance between, let's say, ministry and marketplace? Like, how do you find your balance being a CEO as well as a minister?
I'm still trying to find it because I'm all over the place. I'm really big with education, and I'm a professor, too, like part-time. And it's very hard to just say, I'm going to do this for 2 hours. I'm going to prepare my lesson. Okay, now I got to learn. I got to get to the studio. Mm-hmm. So I'm still learning it. Gym. I got two kids, too, so I'm trying to factor in that whole thing. Too, and I don't know, until Jesus come back, we'll be trying to figure it out. But I will say that I'm making it a conscious effort to have balance. I was married for like 18 years, but I would have been married for like 50 some years had I balanced it. Wow. And I tell people all the time, I got married at 18, and 18 years later I was divorced, and it was really because I didn't have balance.
Okay. Wow.
So now that I'm when you know better, you do better.
You do better
in every aspect. I'm trying to really balance life.
That's powerful.
And no, that is powerful. You know, I've been having a lot of people that have been doing a ton of stuff with us, and they have been talking to us about that balance.
Yeah, like, man.
Getting balance. And gotta, I mean, balance not only in your personal life, but in your physical life, you know, balancing your spiritual life.
Diet.
You know, diet. That's, you know, no, yeah, everything. Balance is so big. And, you know, we're sometimes, you know, we're in that tunnel. We're running. I gotta run. And that, but it's good to have good people around you.
Yes, yes.
That are doing amazing things, and that can help support.
Iron sharpens iron.
And that's why you have Mr. Pugh.
I got Cohen over here.
You got Mr. Nathan over here making it happen. And so, you know, when I first met you, he was like, yeah, you know, he was right there just serving. He was in that spirit of service, just trying to make sure you were good.
For years.
Nathan, why don't you say hello to the people?
Hello to the people.
That's funny.
Yeah, folks. Cohen Knightens, talk to me about Cohen Knightens.
So Cohen Knightens is an instrumental platform that is it's a tool that breeds young men and women. Places a position of encouragement and motivation. These days, social media has really tainted and warped what reality really is.
Wow.
And a lot of people see reality TV, a lot of people see social media, and they try to predicate their lives on what they see on social media and what they're seeing. So I have instrumental individuals who are entrepreneurs, who are leaders in the community. Just recently had an interview with Dr. Jamal Bryant.
Okay, yeah.
Just last week, who really shed some light on some great topics such as momentum and preparation. And Dr. Ernest Pugh actually will be joining us on the platform as well. And just to kind of leak over into the relationship here, he actually, more than he knows, was very instrumental with Cohen Knightens actually starting.
Okay.
In 2008, that's when I actually came on board with Dr. Pugh when he was recording the Ernest Pugh Live, which is the Rain on Us project. So many of you all may know that.
One of the most powerful songs.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, you've seen 16. People praise dance to it. You've seen people praise dance to it. You've seen people fall out over it. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. But he was extremely instrumental in that. I have been assisting him as his personal assistant and handling his logistics since 2008.
Wow.
So we are coming, made 11 years.
Yeah.
Wow. That I have been with him.
He's not crazy yet.
Not crazy yet. Absolutely. So, and he has taught me a lot as it relates to ministry and industry.
Wow.
And so with me having my own entity as far as Cohen Knightens, which in turn, it may not be a biblical or a religious ministry, but it is still ministry.
Mm-hmm. It's ministry. Yeah. Business is ministry, man. Absolutely. You can't go and proclaim the gospel without money.
Come on.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be sitting there asking for
Please understand, it's not a Jesus paid it all situation. Hey, look, even though he did.
Pay it all. And you know, but the whole thing is though we got to have resources.
Absolutely.
And so whether those resources come supernaturally or they come in and natural, you still got to have them.
Absolutely.
And so, no, I think that's powerful. Tell me about, like, what does it mean to serve? Because, see, everybody, a lot of times, they want to be at the front, want to be spotlight. The head.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says to us that, you know, does the eye despise the mouth or the ears? Or
beat it all.
You know, and so we all have a vital part in making this happen.
Absolutely.
Tell us about how to be a servant. And
When you're born, you're born to be a servant, period.
Okay.
And I think that's where a lot of people get things warped. They try to be in the spotlight all the time instead of actually taking the posture of a student and learning. I'm the type of person where you're talking about someone who, if I may leak into it, you're talking about someone who has sang with greats such as Olanda Draper. And these are individuals that I looked up to growing up, you know, listening to gospel music and directing in the mirror, you know, to myself, you know.
Right.
You have someone that has sang with him and now doing his own, you know, doing his own ministry. And it's such a powerful and impactful ministry. That in turn should not, you know, be, I've been fortunate to have this role with him, like I said, for 11 years.
Yeah.
It's not even in my, in my mental to take the spotlight. My posture is to learn as much as I can from him, because as he alluded to earlier, he has the baton.
Yeah.
So when he, you know, when he's ready to rest and sit down and retire, I then can, you know, he can pass that baton to me or to some other individuals who he has, you know, really imparted into, and be able to, you know, take that and move forward. So servanthood is extremely important. I think that it should be at the front end of how you maintain your posture when you're around, so, you know, individuals such as himself. But being a servant is extremely important. I think that that should definitely be the forefront of how you should effectively and efficiently serve, you know, and have a posture to do so. So servanthood is extremely important.
So and we talked about marriage. You don't even have people that's married for 11 years, let alone, I mean, and especially in this day and age, and, you know, to be in a role for 11 years, man, like, what's the secret?
Well, the secret is, to be honest with you, Jarrah, I think there really is no secret. I think there is, I have been assigned to this man. I've been assigned to him when I used to travel with him a lot. But at the end of the day, he also respects that I have my own thing and he supports that. But basically, again, as a servant, when he calls, you know, I have no problem with answering.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that is the posture that I have always maintained with him. But at the end of the day, it's just extremely important that for me to have the understanding that I know that I have been assigned to him. And I've been assigned to him by God, and I can't, you know, I can't fight that. I can't forfeit that assignment because, again, that will be, you know, I will be punished for that. So with that, you know, I'm assigned to him. So there really is no secret to it. It's just me understanding my assignment.
That's awesome. So tell people how they can find out about what you're doing with your project.
Sure. They can you can follow me on Instagram at Mansoor_Cohen. So that's MONSIEUR.
I was wondering. I was like,
It's sir in French.
Underscore
Cohen. Or you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Cohen Lightens. That's CoHenLighTens. So Cohen, it's a play on my last name, and then Lightens. So again, you can follow me there on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. But then of course, you know, and I know you may ask him this question, but, you know, definitely make sure that, with, Ernest Pugh, you know, he has his social media, which I'm sure that he'll share with you, momentarily, but make sure that you follow him. He has some exciting, exciting new music, that's getting ready to come out. One, which you probably heard in the background.
It was popping too.
It was
take my headphones off.
Listen, it was
exactly right.
Jamming. So, and then that's another thing too. I have the privilege, again, of serving him, and I get a chance to, you know, get first dibs on hearing this music.
I'm
just like, oh, you know, I just, you know, you see this rocking, you know, this type of thing going. But you know, some great things that are coming down the pipe. So we are excited. The vision is clear for 2020.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And Dr. Pugh. And so let me make sure I back that up, that Dr. Pugh.
Good.
And so. So I have a couple questions. So number one, what do you teach when you're doing your part time professorship role?
I teach actually worship.
Okay, wow.
Teach on worship. The Levitical priesthood is what I really get deep into. But worship, like the corporate setting for worship on Sunday morning to get the people to sing along and not come and be presentational and sit there. But the corporate worship where everybody enter into his gates with thanksgiving, get into the courts and praise, but then go to the beyond that to the Holy of Holies. And so that's what I teach. You know, people really don't understand that.
Yeah, they don't.
They really don't. Do not understand. Go to a lot of churches and you're like, come on, just release worship. And they like.
Or the praise and worship leader cussing everybody out.
Get up, dance. I said. But once we teach and people are educated and empowered, they actually enter into it, and you know, it's really effective.
What if a young person or somebody, like we talked about the baton, if they're coming in, okay, to this industry, they're coming into music and they're coming in to being a minister.
Sure.
What advice would you give them to get success and to steady the pace, because I mean this is not a sprint, it's more of a marathon.
Yeah.
So get advice for them.
Well, two things I would say. Number one, really embrace who you are. Mm-hmm. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. We already have a Kirk Franklin, we have a Yolanda Adams, we have a Kim Burrell. Really, just embrace who you are, and you can hone that and
authenticity.
Be just authentically yourself. Nobody can beat you being you, and be the best version of yourself that you can be. And the second thing I would say is invest in your craft.
Okay.
And when I say invest, I tell people, go out and do a nice photo shoot. Invest in because, you know, marketing is vitally important. Sometimes people will buy a record off the shelf because of how it looks. I know I'm guilty.
That's correct.
So get you a stylist, get you a photo shoot, and have really good production that really captures your ministry and who you are, the essence of who you are.
So how can I stay in touch? Mm-hmm. With Dr. Ernest Pugh. How can the people know about how to stay in touch with you, how to buy this hot music when
it's
comes
coming.
Off? We're waiting, so you know, let us know how do we stay in touch with you.
www.ernestpugh.com is my website, and on all of my media outlets, at Ernest Pugh. That's Instagram, that's Facebook, that's Twitter, at Ernest Pugh, and Ernest is E-A-R-N-E-S-T.
Oh, listen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming on. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. We're going to get this music, and as soon as it comes out, I'm so excited. Thank you for coming to Millionaire Mastermind Summit from Houston.
Yes, sir.
And we're so excited to see the amazing things
that
Dr. Ernest Pugh.
It's coming.
And Mr. Cohen, we're going to make this thing happen, so thank y'all so much.
You're going to be hosting one of our events. We don't know when, but you're going to host one
okay,
of
well,
we love your energy.
Well, we're excited for it. Thank you so much, Dr. Pugh. All right, thank y'all.
I like that. What's that little instrumental thing?